This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. An Odyssey station. The revolution.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
What a win in the United States Supreme Court yesterday for freedom and liberty and the Second Amendment and due process, and just a great ruling by the court. How will it affect New Jersey, Delaware, other states, Maryland? Other states in the country besides New York. I'll give you all the details on that. The Biden administration wants to modify Title IX to add gender nonsense to it, which absolutely then weakens Title IX. And it's true. Today may be the day that they rule on Roe v. Wade. Good morning. Welcome to the show and glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Hope your morning is off to a good start. A lot to discuss today. And wait till you hear about Joe Biden and the little cheat sheet they have prepared for him so that he knows exactly where to go and what to do when he's doing an event at the White House. It'll blow your mind. It will absolutely blow your mind. Or maybe it won't. Maybe you'll completely understand and get it right away. Either way, we will talk about it, no doubt about it. So thanks for being here this morning. Let's get over to Dawn and check in as we begin this hour. Good morning, Dawn.
And good Friday morning, June 24th, Zeoli Show News Live. Sponsored live.
The Zeoli Show News Live,
sponsored by Abington School District. So we do have a developing story overnight. An off-duty Philadelphia police officer has been killed in a car crash. He was reportedly on his way home. According to police, an 18-year-old was driving a BMW at a high rate of speed on Busselton Avenue when he T-boned that off-duty police officer's vehicle and killing him. So just a tragic way to start out our Friday morning as we learn details about this. We also have in the news now two 17-year-olds, according to police, are in custody, accused in the murder of young Sean Toomey, who would have turned 16 years old this week. And of course, Zeoli played that emotional video and audio of Sean's dad.
He'll actually be on the show today at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. So there is some justice. So there is some justice for the family, but obviously you can't wrap your brain around the pain that he's going through, especially since Sean's mom had died of cancer. I mean, here's a single father raising his son. So we have the word of these two 17-year-olds, and there is word, in fact, that they had been, no surprise, they had had previous arrests and so on and so forth. So it's that story that we keep hearing over and over. The bright spot of this is if you stayed up late, if you're a Phils fan, well, the Phillies delivered big time. So we beat the Padres, apparently loving San Diego. So Phils win. We're back, baby. We're hot again for June, and I predict an even hotter July. So that's my sports prediction, which, of course, I'm not a sports expert, but there you have it. NBC 10 First Alert forecast. We are going to heat up for the weekend. So I know we're starting out foggy and cloudy, but today it's going to be gorgeous. So 64 now, we warm up to 86 degrees today. The weekend, stunning. 91 degrees, bright sunny skies, both Saturday and Sunday. And Abington School District sponsors our Zeoli Show News Live. COVID vaccines are now available for children ages 6 months to 4 years. Eric's Pharmacy, along with Wessler Pediatrics, will actually host a vaccine clinic on Wednesday, next Wednesday, June 29th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Abington Junior High School. Register at ericsrx.com/Abington. This is Friday Edition. It's the Oli Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. It was a big day at the United States Supreme Court yesterday, and I'll give you great details on everything regarding that decision. And today's another decision day. The Supreme Court added another decision day. Based on how they ruled yesterday on guns, my spidey sense tells me that they are going to, in fact, rule in favor of Mississippi and their 15-week abortion ban, and thus, in the process, overturn Roe v. Wade, which is, of course, going to be monumental, no doubt about that. Now, whether or not they'll do it today or not remains to be seen. But the meltdown that is taking place right now after the Supreme Court's ruling. So what did they rule yesterday? Bottom line is this. In the Heller decision many years ago, the Supreme Court affirmed an individual right to bear arms. You know, there was a question of whether or not this was a militia right. It was never a question for me, of course, but, you know, was it a militia right or was it an individual right? That was really the question back then when they had D.C. v. Heller. D.C. had basically made it impossible for an individual to have a gun. And the argument from the perspective of the government at the time was, listen, it's very clear in the Second Amendment that the word militia is there. And therefore, then this is a militia right. So, you know, you don't have an individual right. If we ever need you for the militia, you know, we'll call you. But otherwise, and in Heller, the court affirmed an individual right. And it was a great ruling. And it was a fantastic ruling written by the great Antonin Scalia. And in that ruling, what they did was they went through and they pointed out that at the time of the text, at the time of the writing of the Second Amendment, it was very well established what a militia was. It was comprised of individuals with firearms living their life who were then called upon to serve in the militia. It wasn't that the government said, hey, militia, show up, and then handed out guns. In fact, the right to bear arms actually predates the Constitution in a big way, as all of our rights do. Natural rights. Rights, if you believe, as I do, that you just have your rights, the government doesn't hand them out like candy. You know, the Bill of Rights isn't the government saying, hey, listen, here's 10 rights. Go enjoy yourselves. The Bill of Rights is the states taking the time to write down our natural rights that we have and reminding the federal government, hey, you can't take these away from us. That's the Bill of Rights. If you want to break it down in a nutshell, it's a bunch of guys sitting around a bar in Philly or Boston drinking a lot because the water was dysentery back then. So they drink grog, you know, and the beer, and it was not the same. I mean, it was, you know, some good stuff though. But anyway, and they said, listen, we have these rights. They were all young, strapping lads. You know what I mean? They're all fired up. And they said, we have these rights and you can't take these rights from us. Here's what we're just going to write this down to remind you of what our rights are. All right. So don't mess with us. We're the people. We're creating you, federal government. And in the process of that, we want to make it very, very clear that you can't take these rights from us, all right? So that's a good thing, a very good thing. And in the process of that, they all had guns. I mean, all those founders had, all of them, they all had firearms. They were all packing heat. You know, they'd go to the bars and had them with them. They had cannons. They had all these things. And they put down the right shall not be infringed. You know, you can at no point ever take away our guns, period. And the reason why, among other reasons that they found in Heller, was because at some point, you know, yes, we are the militia. We, the people, might be called up, but we also may be called up to fight you at some point. So, you know, we're going to keep our guns. And that's the way it was. Unfortunately, we treat the Second Amendment now, as Justice Clarence Thomas put it, as really like a lesser amendment, you know. It just doesn't have the same weight or gravitas as the other amendments. We don't really consider it to be a real amendment. It's kind of, you know, it's there. But I mean, all these restrictions around it that you don't have with any of the other amendments in the Bill of Rights, all these rules and all the ways they make it out of reach for people. And what Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in his majority opinion yesterday was, listen, you know, we don't take these other rights and say you can only enjoy them when you're at home. You know, that you only have them at your house. I mean, think about it from this case came down to, can you leave the house with a firearm? Can you leave the house with a gun? Bottom line, that's the question. And New York made it so incredibly restrictive to do so that the answer was no. But remember, backing up to when the Heller decision came down a decade ago or so,
The question was, do you have an individual right to bear arms? The court said, yes, you do. This is not a militia right. This is not a government right. This is an individual right to bear arms. The text at the time and the writing, and they did a great job of looking at the commas and where the commas went, and to look at the phrasing of the words and the conjunction and all of it. You know what I mean? And they did the clauses and how they were writing at the time to come up with the idea that, yes, this in fact was no question about an individual right. So if it's individual right, how do you just leave it at home? And that was really what the court was dealing with in this particular case. It was Justice Alito had asked the question, if I live in a dangerous neighborhood and I want to go outside and protect myself, isn't that enough? Isn't that just enough of a reason for me to be able to carry a gun with me when I leave the house? Thomas went a bit further. He said, look, imagine if we took your other rights and said you can only have them at home. Like, imagine if you can only challenge the government from the privacy of your home. But the minute you left your house, that right is gone. You know, in public, you could never say a bad thing about the government, for example. But if you're home, you can. You know, you can write a letter to the editor. You can phone a friend. But if you were in public, that right didn't exist. Can you imagine that, you know? Or imagine if your right against unlawful search and seizure did not apply in public. So the minute you left the house and you're walking down the street, at any moment, the government can stop you and search you and search your person's papers and effects. It's a right that only applied in the walls of your home. That'd be ridiculous, and nobody would ever think that was okay. But yet with the Second Amendment, that's exactly what they were saying. They were saying that, no, listen, you have this right, but only in your house. Okay, and if you want to enjoy the right outside your house, you better prove that you are worthy. You got to prove that you're worthy to us. And people said, well, I shouldn't have to prove that. It's my right. Why should I have to prove that to you? Great question. And the answer is you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to prove it because it is your right, as you just said. Now, it's a fantastic case. It's a fantastic decision. I think it's outstanding. And actually, it's interesting because even in the dissent by the three justices who were against this, and obviously they went off the rails, and the people are going off the rails today. Keith Olbermann saying, hashtag ignore the court. You know, ignore the court. Just don't pay attention to it. We're going to now pack the court. We're gonna turn around now, and we're going to make the court our court. I mean, as they are ratcheting up the rhetoric now to turn around and say, we are going to make the Supreme Court into a basically supermajority legislature, so this never happens again. And in New Jersey, where this now, New Jersey has this justifiable need standard. If you want to get a gun, as my friend who was a prosecutor put it, you basically have to bring the person who's threatening you to the police station with you and say, listen, I'm being threatened by this guy, right? And the guy has to turn around and go, yeah, it's true, I'm threatening him. And that's about it. I mean, that's how hard it is for you to get a gun in the state of New Jersey. Many years ago, my friend John Drake sued over this issue. He is a guy that puts money in ATM machines and takes money out of ATM machines. That's his job. In Pennsylvania, he had a permit to carry. In New Jersey, he did not. They would not give it to him. They said, you don't have a justifiable need. Just being around lots of cash is not enough. So even though he's a target for criminals, they said, well, it's not enough. His case went all the way up to the Third Circuit, and the Supreme Court did not take it at the time. And I think the theory was that at the time, they just didn't have the votes. So they passed on his case. But his case is exactly like the New York case. And what the justices ruled yesterday in saying that you can't have this restriction on an individual right to carry a gun outside the home is going to apply in the state of New Jersey as well. So what needs to happen is, what's going to happen, I assume, is somebody is going to apply for a concealed carry permit in the state. They'll be denied, and then they'll sue. And then a judge is going to have to rule that New Jersey is out of line based on the ruling that just was handed down yesterday in New York. And any state that has these ridiculous standards is also out of line. Any state, any city, anywhere that they have in place a mandate that says you've got to prove your need to be able to have this gun. You know what I mean? And Justice Alito did a fantastic job torching the liberals' dissent in this case. And he really, because you know, the liberals went on with this, so they cited statistics of gun deaths and everything like this, and nothing to do with the actual case. And in his dissent, in his writing and their dissent, he said, I reiterate that all that we decide in this case is that the Second Amendment protects the right of law-abiding people to carry a gun outside the home for self-defense, and that the New York law, which makes that virtually impossible for most New Yorkers, is unconstitutional. That's it. Ordinary citizens frequently use firearms to protect themselves from criminal attack. Defensive firearm use occurs up to 2.5 million times a year. Do you know that? About 2.5 million times a year, people use guns to protect themselves. And all that the justices did yesterday was to say, yeah, we affirm that the 14th Amendment's pretty clear here. You know, states can't stop you from enjoying your rights in the Constitution. You have this right. Enjoy it wherever you want to be. Be lawful about it, obviously. And then some of the doomsayers out there, there's going to be a Wild West, you know, shootings in the streets. New York City Mayor Eric Adams yesterday came out and said, we cannot allow New York to become the Wild West. Hey, listen, dude, New York is the Wild West. And it isn't because law-abiding citizens. It's because of criminals. Philly is the Wild West right now. And it's not because law-abiding citizens who can actually, and of course, in the state of Pennsylvania, they can conceal carry. We already have it here, and we don't have lawlessness from law-abiding citizens. We are the Wild West, but it's criminals using illegal guns. So anyone who's out there today going on about how this ruling by the Supreme Court is going to turn blank place into the Wild West, it most likely already is because of criminals with illegal guns. And in places that already have concealed carry, and there's many states around the country that do, that have the ability for you to carry a gun outside the home, you don't have law-abiding citizens shooting each other left and right. They're not sitting there at diners angry at each other and just blowing people away. I didn't get my fries. They're cold. Boom. It doesn't happen. It happens in cities by criminals who are holding illegal guns committing crimes. It doesn't happen with law-abiding citizens who can conceal carry, as we know very well in Pennsylvania. So it's a great win for freedom. It's a great win for liberty. And there's so much more to digest about it. Now, the bad news about yesterday is that very, very late last night / early this morning, the United States Senate passed their gun control law, which has red flag laws in it, which are very, very problematic to liberty and to due process, and will essentially turn people into criminals based on future crimes that have not been committed yet. Well, I'll share my thoughts with you on that as well. It's going to be a busy morning on the show today, no doubt about it. So we're glad you're here. We got a lot to digest. Give me your reaction to the Supreme Court's ruling. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is a busy Friday morning. Thanks for being here today. Happy Friday. We made it. Summer Fridays. Hopefully you're on your way to the shore. Hopefully you're on your way to doing something really fun this weekend. And then, of course, July 4th, right around the corner, Independence Day. Thank you for listening today, 855-839-1210. So, I'm thrilled by this ruling. I'm so excited by it. I really am. It's just a recognition of individual liberty. And realizing that when it comes to this notion of self-defense, too, what does it really mean from a philosophical perspective? It means that you as a person, as an individual, you have an inalienable right to exist, to live, to be alive, and to enjoy life, and to defend yourself and your family. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, as basic as it is, it's that. You know, as basic as the right of self-defense, what is it? It's the recognition of you as an individual have a right to exist. And the state just can't take that away without due process. And that's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. You know, you can digest all the legalese of everything, of the opinions, and, you know, that's the kind of stuff that gets me very excited. But at the heart of it is, hey, you matter. You're a person and you matter. And if you need to protect yourself, you know, have at it. So be it. Because you have a right to exist. And here's the reality, too. You can't rely on the state to protect you. And the state has no responsibility to protect you. You know, look, I'm the biggest supporter of law enforcement there is. Law enforcement does not have a legal obligation to protect me. It doesn't. I mean, I appreciate that the cops do and they try their best, but that's not their protect and serve is a lovely saying, and it applies to the community at large. It doesn't apply to me personally. Cops don't have a legal obligation to protect me. So, you know, I hope they do if the S hits the fan, and I'm sure and I believe that they would, you know, given our friendship, if I really needed them. But, you know, you have an obligation to protect yourself. You know, you do, and you can't just turn around to the state and say, hey, you got this, right? I'm good. I'll turn over my protection to you. It's a fool's errand if you do that. And it's not because cops aren't good at what they do. It's because the state has its own prerogative in protecting itself. You know, the state has its own prerogative in having police departments in the first place, and that is to protect the community at large and to maintain civil order. It's not to protect you as an individual. That's your job. That's your job. You have to protect yourself as an individual. You have to protect your home. You know, you lock your doors at night, I assume. You lock your car. You do all those things. You maybe have an alarm system. Maybe you pack in heat at the house. Maybe you're packing heat when you leave the house. You have an obligation to protect yourself and your family because you have an individual right to be here. You have the natural right to be here that is not a right given to you by government. Government doesn't give us our rights. I think if you go down to the biggest question between really, truly modern day liberals versus classical liberals, and I am a classical liberal, but modern day liberals have it backwards. You know, classical liberals are people like Thomas Jefferson, obviously, you know, the people that wrote the Federalist Papers, you know, those pesky founders, you know, this idea of where our rights come from, and they don't come from government. They come from some other place. Perhaps it's the creator, if you believe in that. Perhaps it's just nature, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is you have your natural rights. The modern day liberals today, though, it's backwards. Everything you have, thank government for. The shirt on your back, you didn't build it. That road, somebody else built that. Everything you have is thank government for that, including your safety and your security. So they literally do not want you to have a gun because they want the government to do it themselves. They want the state to always be it everything. I mean, the state is your provider. It is your protector. You know, if you think about what the left believes today, what modern day liberals believe today, it is that the state is your provider and your protector. The state is neither of those things and should not be those things. And classical liberals would never believe that the state should ever be in the business of being your provider or your protector, ever. You know, a classical liberal in the 1700s and 1800s would believe that the state has an obligation to protect the state. and that the nation has an obligation to protect the nation from, you know, bad guys trying to come in, for example. Doesn't have an obligation to protect you. It's your life, man. You're living your life. You know, you think about the status of the individual at the founding of the Republic versus the status of the individual today. I remember very well, it was March of 2020, right before the world ended, and perhaps you were with us that day, and we were in Pittman, New Jersey at the Broadway Theater, and it was me and the great one, Mark Levin, on stage, and I asked him, first question out of my mouth, it was right, I mean, literally before COVID, I said, Mark, have we become subjects? You know, have we gone backwards here and become subjects? And then little did I know, in a matter of months, I'd be forced to wear a mask everywhere and told where I could go and when I could go and where I couldn't go. And, you know, restaurants would have capacity limits. And literally everything I asked in that question would come true the minute there was a pandemic. But, you know, the status of the individual at the founding of the Republic was very different. You know, you lived your life. There was no unemployment benefit. There was no handout. There were food stamps weren't a thing, you know, and you had to make it, man. You know, and the government was there to provide basic law and order. So you'd have the ability to do that. You know, they would work to protect your private property rights and to protect you through due process, usually from the government itself. But, you know, and then if the pesky Brits came and invaded again and burned down the White House, those heathens, then the government would fight back and, you know, they'd ask you to come and help out, you know, call you up and bring your guns and your cannons with you. And you did. And then you go back to living your life, making money, trying to be a success, trying to build for your family. That's what the status of the individual was back then. Now, the liberals of today, the government is your provider and your protector. You need something, the government will take care of it for you. You need protection, the government will take care of it for you. It's completely flipped on its head. And that's why the federal government has become such a monstrosity. And individual rights have been so weakened in the process. So yesterday was a great restoration of the concept of individual rights, of individual liberty, of natural law, and this notion that the government does not give us our rights. It was a great reminder of that fact. Because again, to think about it from this perspective, before we ever said, let's have a constitution, we were armed. We had guns. That's how we were able to beat and defeat the British, if you think about it. The Continental Congress asked citizens to sign up and help out, and we did, with our guns and our cannons. So you see, despite Biden's lies, you could have a cannon back then, and thank God you could, because your cannon was fighting in the war. How do you think we were able to defeat the British Army if we weren't even a government yet? Think about it. We were a bunch of renegade rebels who defeated the United Kingdom. We beat the Brits as a bunch of people, individuals coming together. There was no government yet. There was a Continental Congress. They didn't have a standing army. There was no Navy. There was no Air Force. We didn't have these things. We had individuals' guns and cannons, literally, who came together to fight, and we won. And that's the point, though. We had these guns before we created a government. So then how can you argue that the government gives you the right to have a gun? No. We gave government the right to exist. We were individuals running around with guns. And we were crazy. We were crazy. I mean, to think we could beat the Brits, the strongest army in the world, we were nuts. And I like that. And I like that we're the heirs of those people, those crazy rebels. I do. It makes me very happy. But if you look at it on paper, we had no business winning that war. None whatsoever. Some battalions didn't even have shoes. I'm not even kidding. But the one thing we all had were guns. We love our guns in this country. We loved them back then. We love them today. And so to argue that the government gives you the right to have a gun when we created the government after we beat another army with our privately owned guns is a ridiculous argument that does not stand the test of logic or time. 855-839-1210 is the number, and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. All right, we got a lot more to talk about today. Biden, wait till you hear about his little cue cards telling him where to go and when. It's outrageous. And also, Title IX, is it now going to extend to transgender students? It's looking like it. Don't go away.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you, Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yes, it's Friday, baby. Friday edition. And we are so happy you're with us today. Busy day. Dawn, you're so lucky you get to be on the air as these decisions are coming out. It's so cool.
I know. I almost called you, except yesterday you were still having this smoky voice from the forest fire. smoke.
Yeah, I was listening to you, though. You sounded great. I was driving around listening to you. I went to get my allergy shot, and Dr. Lania was like, you sound sick.
Aw.
But I'm not sick. It's just that, you know, my allergies. So she gave me some stuff that helped. So.
And then I thought, I remembered not only the Wharton forest fires happening, but remember a couple years ago, one of your neighbors was burning poison ivy? And I thought,
oh, yeah. It smelled like marijuana.
Is his neighbor burning the poison ivy? Because if you're allergic to poison ivy and they burn it, it's in the smoke form. But if you breathe that in, it's still, you're going to have an allergic reaction. So I meant to ask you that. Yeah.
That's right. Well, she armed me with all kinds of inhalers and things, and I'm feeling much better today.
Yeah, you sound amazing.
Much better. But it was a tough go there for a little while, but we made it. We made it through the week, which is good. But no, you sounded great. It was just so fun. I mean, you're sitting there, you're on the air, and then all of a sudden the Supreme Court, a landmark Second Amendment ruling. And today you might be on the air for a landmark ruling regarding abortion in this country. So so cool that you get to have that live, because the decisions come out at 10 a.m. right when your show starts.
Yeah, it's amazing. Very cool. Thank you, yeah. But hopefully there's not any chaos. Or, you know, that's the other piece of this. I just wonder if the court will wait till the very last minute to release it.
Well, I hope so, from my selfish perspective, because I want to be on the air when it happens. I want to be able to talk about it. So I hope they wait till the end of the term. This way, you know, I'll be back from vacation because I'm off next week. But either way, you know, let me ask you this question. Would you ever want... You know that, I'm not going to say her name because she freaks out, and some people are listening to us on that smart speaker with that woman's name, mm-hmm. whose name I shall not mention. Would you ever want her to answer you in the voice of one of your dead relatives?
No. No, that would freak me out.
Freak you out, right?
Yeah. They
have this new update like that ghost. They're trying to do for it, and they're testing it. And basically what it is that you'll ask it something, and then it'll answer you with, like, grandma's voice or something like that. Grandma who's dead.
Ooh.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that creepy?
Yeah, I can see why they want... I can see why they would think that was a cool thing to do. Like, let's say you have kids and both parents are out. So you put the parent's voice, you know, on the device to say, kids, are you in bed? You know, like, as a reminder, you can do all sorts of things. But I think ultimately it freaks me out that they can mimic your voice so accurately. And then to compound that with the ghost of a grandmother.
Right?
It's like a ghost speaking for... Although, you know, it could be sort of manipulative, couldn't it be? I mean, you could say, like, you know, be good. Be a good husband. I don't know.
It could.
To your wife. I don't know.
Yeah, they could definitely do those things, no doubt.
Like, what would Amber Heard or Johnny Depp, you know what I mean? Like, you could really go, what would they do to, I don't know, guilt somebody out? You could really kind of be freaky with it.
I just want Samuel Jackson to be the voice of my smart speaker and to just yell at me all the time and, you know? You know, he asks what the weather is, and he comes back, and he's like, mother, but stop asking me what the weather is. That's all I want. I don't ask for much, you know what I mean?
Samuel L. Jackson has the best voice. He does.
He's the...
Just,
the best. And Dave Chappelle did this bit on Chappelle's show. It was Samuel Jackson beer. You know, they have Sam Adams, and they had this commercial when he's sitting around, and he goes... Guys are like, yeah, I have a Sam Adams. That sounds good. I have a Sam Adams. I have a Samuel Jackson. And then you see Samuel L. Jackson, as Dave Chappelle playing him, dressed up as Sam Adams. And he's got a beard. He goes, good mother effing choice, mother effer. Samuel Jackson beer. This is hysterical. Hysterical.
The other one, the other voice I would say, and just Google search, Morgan Freeman, I can smell you. Like my kids and I, it's the weirdest thing, but this people, if you imitate Morgan Freeman saying, I can smell you, it's like, I don't know why this is hysterical. My kids and I don't know, they saw this somewhere on Discord or whatever. And we all, to this day, we'll go, I can smell you. But wow. Morgan Freeman has like such a distinct way of speaking as well.
He does. He definitely does. So no dead relatives in our smart speakers.
Nah.
Is that the consensus?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just weird. But what about?
I like. It would be like this. It'd be like, you know, you ask her what's the weather, and then it's Mama Zioli coming in, going, "Oh, I'll be careful, baby. It's going to be a hot one today."
Aww. See, that's sweet.
No, it's not. It's. I would take a sledgehammer to that smart speaker. The United States Bureau of Prisons is hastening a transgender ex-neo-Nazi bank robber who's having gender confirmation surgery after the inmate filed a lawsuit against the federal agency claiming it denied previous requests for the surgery. In light of the steps the Board of Prisons has taken toward providing surgeries to plaintiff, the parties believe there is a possibility that all claims in this case might be resolved without the need for further litigation. So basically, this ex-neo-Nazi Donna Langen, who was born Peter Kevin Langen, was convicted to life in prison plus 35 years in two separate trials for robbing two banks using firearms and a destructive device. He was part of a small neo-Nazi group called the Aryan Republican Army, otherwise known as the ARA. At the time of his crimes, he had the goal of funneling money from the banks he robbed to the Aryan Republican Army. If you remember the Aryan race, Hitler's wacky idea of the perfect people. And this dude was part of that group. He spent two decades in a male prison before being transferred to a female facility, the Federal Medical Center in Carlswell, Texas. Langen is one of few transgender female inmates who successfully transferred prisons. And now they're working to fast track the inmates' gender confirmation operations with a surgeon in Dallas, Texas. And guess who's paying for that? You are. That's right. You're paying to have this neo-Nazi's junk chopped off and turn the neo-Nazi into a woman. There right. you go.
And there are diabetics across the country who cannot afford their insulin, which the prices have skyrocketed. And there's no help for them. They're rationing their insulin, which for a type 1 means you're going to die if you don't have it. But nobody's helping them with the insulin. But this is what goes on.
Yeah. Well, if the insulin helped you change genders, they would help you with it.
That's what they should claim.
You know, and here's the thing, too. So Peter Kevin Langen was the name of this neo-Nazi knucklehead, and then became Donna Langen. And you know what changed? No middle name. See, if it was just Peter Langen the whole time, never would have been a neo-Nazi criminal. It's always people with the middle name, with the prominent, you know what I mean? The prominent middle name. So, you know, like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Serial killers.
John Wilkes Booth, serial killers, right? Yeah. And that's the problem right there. So actually, Peter Kevin Langen is now transitioning to just Donna Langen. No middle name, so no risk of crime. You know what I mean?
It's insane.
It's really what it is. This is just stuff that just, it's just infuriating. It really is. And you know this Texas doctor who's going to do the chop? The Texas doctor is going to bill the federal government $1 billion for the surgery. You know what I mean?
Well, how much?
Whatever the maximum that this doctor can bill, this doctor will bill.
Unbelievable.
And you're paying for it. You're paying for the chop.
Well, then do they pay for the breast implants?
Yes. Yes, it's called gender confirmation surgery, Dawn. To confirm that this individual is now a quote-unquote woman, you have to give the chop and you got to give the enhancements.
Well, what if
the whole package? You get the whole package in prison. Look, on the outside, you gotta do a piecemeal. You know what I mean? In prison, you get the whole package. It's a complete and you know all inclusive. You get the jawline, I assume, the Adam's apple shave. You get the chop. You get the boobs. You get it all. You know?
So
you take the good. You take the bad. You take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
So for a woman who wants like a little lift and gender reconfirmation as a woman, she could like commit a minor crime, go to prison, get a whole boob job. And
I don't know if there's gender reconfirmation surgery.
Oh, why not?
That's a new one. I don't know about that. You know, if you're already confirmed, I don't know if you get a reconfirm. That I'm not sure about reconfirm.
This is discrimination against reconfirmation.
I understand. I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Hi, I'd like gender reconfirmation surgery. I'd like my blank to be bigger.
Right?
Can I have the pump? I need my you know what to be twice the size. Can I pay for that surgery? Not that I need that, by the way. But I'm saying it's a hypothetical situation.
We could have fun with this.
Have the nuttiest time ever. Yeah, I'd like a boob job, please, because I want to reconfirm that I am in fact a woman. And I need them bigger. How about an unconfirmation? Because there's a lot of guys with man boobs.
Yeah, see?
They can go, I want to unconfirm. I want to double down on the fact that I am a man and not a woman, so I need you to give me a breast reduction surgery for my gynecomastia or whatever they call it. When men have boobs. So I'm just, you know, they got to be creative with this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to be creative.
But I'm serious that the surgery that the neo-Nazi nut job is getting is probably $80,000 to $100,000. I mean, it's expensive.
No, it'd be $80,000 to $100,000 if it wasn't in prison. In prison, right. It's going to be $500,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the federal government's just going to write a check. Here you go. And the doctor and the lawyers always win. There you go.
It's
very nice. Nike is going to be ending their Russian operations. They announced they'd be temporarily suspending their operations in Russia because they are not happy with what Russia is doing. Now, they only get about less than 1% of their revenue from Russia and Ukraine, meaning the decision will basically have zero financial impact to their bottom line. Now, I know what you're thinking to yourself. Bravo to Nike. You're standing up to the brutal dictator of Russia and obviously also then China. Not so much. No, they're still doing business in China. That's the part of the story where they're still good because they, you know what I mean? So China is still their best friend. Nike has repeatedly stated that they are a brand of China and for China, by China, and in China. So they have no intention of taking a stand against the country's human rights abuses. The move by Nike to exit Russia may or may not be the correct decision, but it's yet another example of the modern corporate trend of making empty symbolic gestures while ignoring issues in locations that might have a significant financial impact on their business. In other words, when Nike dons itself in rainbows or says they're moving out of Russia, these are empty symbolic gestures that cost them nothing. It costs you nothing to have your logo rainbow-fied. It costs you nothing to say, I'm pulling out of Russia. But now stand up to China or any of these Middle Eastern countries where they stone gays to death, for example. That takes some courage. Yeah, not so much. You know what I mean? Not so much. So, there you go.
So the whole package for trans surgery could be up to $300,000.
There you go. See?
For the whole vaginoplasty and the all I can't even pronounce all the stuff.
Yeah, it's good to be an incarcerated neo-Nazi, huh? This is what you get.
Unbelievable.
These are the days of the endless wonder, I'm telling you. The nuttiest time we've ever lived in.
Yes.
It's the nuttiest time. I just want the giant asteroid to come. It keeps teasing us. I think we're ready for it. I think we're ready. You know, now's the time. Let's do. It's like I want to just open up a window and be like, let's do this, asteroid. Let's do this. Mike says I can download Samuel L. Jackson's voice on my smart speaker to report the weather. Fantastic. I will try to do that. Okay, good. Excellent. And Brian says, Rich, what's up? You don't want Alexa saying, be careful, baby, in your mom's voice. Oh, I said her name. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Sorry about that. Oh, I didn't mean that. Yes.
Yeah, you have to say, we have to come up with a different name. Robot AXA.
Whore.
Hua.
Hua. I misspoke yesterday. I try to always be correct. And sometimes I get things wrong. Very rare that I do, though. But, you know, when I do, they're not exactly consequential. But I guess it was the laryngitis a little bit.
What happened?
Well, yesterday on the show, we were discussing The Godfather. And I was making the point that in Godfather Part 2, Kay says to Michael, senators don't have people killed. And he says, now, who's being naive, Kay? Actually, I was wrong. It was, in fact, Godfather, not Godfather 2. And Ralph Esposito sent me a note yesterday, said, Rich, love your show, but I love The Godfather more. The quote from Michael, now who's being naive, was in Godfather, not Godfather Part 2. Thank you, Ralph, for the clarification. You are correct, sir. I misspoke, and I appreciate that. And I'm a man. I'm not afraid to stand up and say, I got it wrong. So actually, my pronouns are they, them, and they got it wrong, not me.
Yes.
See?
Actually, Godfather was, remember, Kay had an abortion. So that was pretty controversial.
Oh, yes, it was.
Right?
It was an abortion, Michael. It was something unholy like this thing that's been going on for 1,000 years. And then he slaps her. Oh, man, that scene is epic. That is an epic scene.
Yes.
That movie is just fantastic. It's so good. I think I may rewatch The Offer again just to rewatch the whole thing.
It's so good.
Because it's just that good. You know what I mean? It's just that good. Keith Olbermann, crazy man, Keith Olbermann. Does he have a show? Is he on television now at this point, or what is he doing?
Olbermann, let me look.
Do we know? Is he just tweeting like a crazy person on Twitter? Is that basically what he's doing at this point? Greg, do you know?
I thought
he has a show.
He doesn't have a show. He's just on Twitter.
He has a link to YouTube. He's got 144,000 subscribers, and he does these little videos, I guess. I don't know. Latest one seems to be from 8 months ago, but it's about the last time I did my podcast. No, I'm going to get back on the stick as soon as I get back from vacation. But anyway, Olbermann freaked out yesterday. He said, it has become necessary to dissolve the Supreme Court of the United States. The first step is for the state. The first step is for a state the court has now forced guns upon to ignore this ruling. Great. You're a court. Why and how do you think you can enforce your rulings? Hashtag ignore the court. So he's literally now advocating lawlessness and anarchy, where we just ignore the rulings of the United States Supreme Court. There you go. What does that mean for our country, actually, if we just ignore the court? We just ignore the United States Supreme Court. Or any court. You know, we just ignore rulings we don't like. We just don't do it.
Or maybe we ignore Keith Olbermann.
We could. That's, you know what? That's an even better suggestion. Wonderful suggestion. Keith Olbermann is actually invoking President Andrew Jackson, who once said, well, the Supreme Court has made their ruling. Now let's see him enforce it. But I think it's a kind of a given that we just listen to the court, even though they don't have the enforcement mechanism, because that's how our country works. This dude is absolutely suggesting right now, and he's not the only one. There's a bunch of libs out there today all saying the same thing. Ignore the court. This court must be ignored. Hashtag ignore it. Hashtag ignore the court. I just can't believe he wasn't cursing on Twitter. Because usually Keith Olbermann is always dropping all kinds of crazy curses. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All kind of bomb, F-bombs and S-bombs and everything like that. I'm just surprised he's not doing that today. You, sir, are an abomination. You have your ruling. Let us see you enforce it. You are a bad, bad man. But he doesn't have the same firepower he used to. That's the problem. That's the problem for Keith Olbermann right there. So
I remember you used to play him in 2016, right? Because he did like a comeback for a while.
He did.
He had that. What was it called, Greg? He had a show just because he hated former President Donald Trump so much. So then you would play him. It was hysterical.
Hey, remember he used to do? He goes, "You are the worst person in the world." Yes. That idiotic thing he used to do?
Yes.
You, sir. And he would just savage people. You are the worst person in the world. You, Dick Cheney. Whereas now it's you, Liz Cheney, are the best person in the world. Oh, man. Crazy times we're living in, no doubt about it. Crazy, crazy times. I will tell you in the 7 o'clock hour about Biden's note card, which has step-by-step instructions for everything that Biden is supposed to do. Literally step-by-step instructions. So I'm going to share that with you as well as the show progresses today. We got a lot. We're loaded up. Plus, transgender affirmation under Title IX. Literally, Title IX was created to protect women in athletics, and now it's going to protect biological dudes who want to compete against women in athletics. So I'll tell you about that, too. We got a big show straight ahead. Straight ahead. Don't go away.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.